We're going to be in James chapter 2, starting in verse 14 today. In James chapter 2, this is one of the famous passages of Scripture where people like to pit Peter against Paul. Pit Peter against Paul, and where they seemingly disagree and where they might even say things contradictory. I want to say that they are both in Scripture. They are both God-breathed, and so they do not contradict whatsoever. It's instead maybe looking at different nuances and things from a different perspective. Okay, so yesterday, Rochelle was listening. We were riding in the car. We went down to Mobile, and as we were riding in the car, Rochelle had some TikTok videos that were playing, and one of them that played, it ended up being a whole series of things where they talk about there is a autism test where they ask, how are 2 and 7 similar? And some of you might have seen this before. I don't know what your answer is. How are 2 and 7 similar? It's supposedly if you're neurodivergent or whatever, then you start talking about the shape of them or whatever else. The simple answer is that they are both numbers. But some of the videos were talking about how of course they're both numbers. I thought you were asking me something that actually mattered or something, you know, beyond that. The simple answer is that they're both numbers, but some people can't answer just they're simply both numbers because they think there has to be something more. There has to be something that they add to. And I feel like that's where we are with faith and works. Because what is Christianity? Christianity is a belief in God that expresses itself through our works. It is both part of it. Do we come to faith in Christ? Do we come to salvation by working our way into it? No, but as this passage makes clear, if our Christianity does not then include works, does not then live itself out in a particular set of ways, then we are just really faking it, and we're not actually who we claim to be. And so as we look at this, I want us to think about faith and works, about where we place our value, about where we place our emphasis, about what we need to look at. In athletics and so many other things, you can either enhance what you're good at, or you can shore up your weaknesses. And even though somebody might have power, be a power hitter, you see the infield shift where they always pull the ball, they could work at hitting it the other way, or they could double down on that and say, I'm only going to hit the ball to the left side, but I'm going to hit them out of the park, or I'm going to hit them so hard. Well, in faith and works, I think we need to look at both of them. I think James will tell us that we need to look at both. And so as we begin in verse 14, it says, what good is it, brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Can such faith save him? Can that faith save him? If we are saved by faith, and we need to have faith, then just having faith, just saying we have faith, is that good enough? If we claim to have faith, is that all of what is important? It doesn't matter if you have it or not. It's what you have. Is this kind of like playing spiritual poker where you're bluffing, where you call the bet, where you say, I'm all in on this, even though you have nothing in your hand? To simply claim faith means absolutely nothing. Can it save him? What good is it? What use is it, some translations say? What use is it? What good does it do for you to claim that you have faith? Well, we need to stop and we need to think through what exactly is faith. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says that we are saved by grace through faith. That we are saved through faith. So isn't faith what is important? If you look at other passages, if you look in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof what is not seen. And then a little bit later it says, without faith it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So faith is how we are saved. We are saved by grace, but we're saved through faith. And as we're saved through faith, the faith that we have is the reality of things hoped for. And it's how we please God, by believing that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So do we have that faith? You see, we have faith and we have the faith. And the faith is kind of a list of what it is that we believe, because belief and faith go hand in hand. going to borrow some from C.S. Lewis here. C.S. Lewis, talking about belief, said that belief is an assent to a proposition we think overwhelmingly possible or probable. Belief is an assent to a proposition that we believe overwhelmingly possible. At some point when we say we believe, we say the evidence adds up that God is and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. And when at some point in time, whether it be through the conviction of our heart, whether it be through other people's testimonies, whether reading the authority of God's word by the authority of God, we have come to understand by thinking through logically in our mind, and we see how it happens. And through all of the different evidences that come up, it creates in us a belief, an assent to this proposition that God is and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. But belief is the verb. That's what we do. We believe. We don't say we faith. Like we don't faith. Hey, are you faithing today? I mean, we understand what we mean, but typically faith is a noun. So how can you have faith? How can you have what this is? And how is that tied to belief? I think that belief is what we have, even in a moment, and faith is the collection of that. We have all different kinds of collections. Maybe you have a Beanie Baby collection or a baseball card collection. Maybe you collect. At one time, I wanted to collect chess sets, but I don't have the time nor the finances for that. So it's very small. you have different types of collections. And faith is kind of our collection of beliefs. Because belief is an assent. It is an assent. It's a yes. It's a I believe that. It's a hey, what that statement says, that's right. It's giving the amen, the affirmation, the affirming that it's right. But as Christians, it's not just to a proposition, but it's to God Himself. And God Himself is who we believe in. We don't just believe about God. We believe God Himself and everything that God says. In fact, I think that's why so many people in today's world want to deny God. Because it's not just, is there a God that exists, yes or no? It's if there is a God, if God is who He says He is, then suddenly we become answerable to God in everything. There is no, you know, itemizing of tax deductions kind of thing. There is no, hey, I will accept this part of God and not that part of God. If God's only a proposition, you can say, well, I'll take A, B, and C, but D and E, I don't believe that that's real and that that's true. But if you are not believing just a bunch of propositions, if you're not just believing a bunch of thoughts, just a bunch of ideas, but now it is in direct relation to a person or more to a deity, to God, then that then becomes the logic of once again, as C.S. Lewis says, of personal relations. It's no longer, do I believe this fact? It's, do I believe Him? Do I believe that He is? Do I believe that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him? Do I believe Him whenever He says His word is true? Do I believe Him when He says that He created it all? Do I believe Him when He says that He is love and that His grace is sufficient? Do I believe Him when He says that He is the Father that pursues the Son? Do I believe Him and take Him at His word? And so faith is a collection of all these beliefs. Whenever we believe, whenever we assent to God, whenever we say, God, You are real. God, I know You. I want to know You. I want to know You more. Whenever we change from that proposition and we say, yes, God, I believe You are. Yes, God, I believe who You are and what You say. Faith is the culmination of a bunch of these beliefs. C.S. Lewis once again defined it as the art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted in spite of your changing moods. In other words, faith is curating your beliefs. To curate something is to collect them, and it is to take care of them, is to appraise them, is to decide what goes on display, is to arrange them, is to take care, and is to, curate the collection. And faith is the curating of your beliefs. I like how he said, in spite of your changing minds, because sometimes our minds change. Sometimes we get thrown counter arguments. But in the midst of all of that, we hold on, not just to things, but we hold on to them, onto Him, hold on to God, even whenever the winds blow, even whenever the storms come, even whenever things seem cold and dark and dreary. And in fact, it is no longer our moods that influence us, but instead faith curates, it changes, it relates to, it directs our moods and our understanding. And faith is that set of beliefs, is that continual collection of things that we believe about Him and in Him, and it then trains and it teaches everything else in our life. Faith is sanctification, in that faith teaches us how we are to respond. I believe that God is, and so because of my faith in Him and by my faith in Him, because I've curated the belief that God is Lord and He is Lord on the throne and He is the only one that saves and He is worthy of my everything, that curation of those beliefs then influences how I live my life. We are saved because whenever God justifies us through the blood of Jesus Christ, but then we get sanctified, throwing out all these big church words, we get sanctified as we become more like Him, as He transforms us, as we start off as little bitty baby Christians and He teaches us how to live and how to respond. But so that's what faith is. It's the curation of the beliefs. Whenever we come at that moment to believe in God and we come to understand that He's a rewarder of those that love Him and seek Him. And then we curate that in our lives. That's what faith is. And if someone claims to have faith, if someone claims to have this collection of beliefs, if someone claims that they know God, they understand God, they love God, they're basing their life off of God, but they don't have works, what good is that? Can that even save them? Because works, and here He's not talking about the works of the law. He's not talking about that. He's saying if they don't have anything that backs up what it is they say, if they have faith, but they're not exercising that faith, if they claim that they have faith, but they can't back it up, what good is it? Can it save him? If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, stay warm, and be well fed," but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? Now, this is not His instructions on benevolence and how to carry out benevolence. It's not saying only do this for other Christians. It's not saying really anything. It's just saying, look at it at surface value. I need food. I need clothes. Hope you get it. Bye. What good is that? If someone claims to have faith, but they don't exercise that faith, what good is it? How do you know that it is there? And how do you, if you say that you trust in God and that you believe in Him and that you have made Him Lord of your life, but nothing about your life backs that up, then are you really, is what you're claiming really reality? Or is it a delusion? In the same way, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead by itself. That dead is necros, and necros means, well, dead. It means to not have life. It means that it's not viable. For something to be viable, it means that it has that it actually works, that it actually does. And I don't mean works in the same way, but that it actually is alive and going and healthy and whatever else you want to call it. That's a viableness to it. But the faith that does not have works, it has nothing inside of it. It is not alive. It is dead. It can't work. It can't do anything. It is nothing. If someone says, "You have faith and I have works, show me your faith without works and I will show you my faith by my works." You believe that God is one, good. Even the demons believe and they shudder. Show me your faith without works and I will show you my faith by my works. You see, works have to accomplish faith for it to be real, or else the claim does not match the reality. It's kind of, and this is one of those PQ, I'll get in trouble for this, but in common society today, there are a whole lot of people that claim one reality where biologically there is demonstrated that they are not. The claim does not match the reality. It's like saying, show me you are a male without showing me the biology. It's not, it doesn't matter what you claim. The reality is not there. And if we claim to have faith, but we don't have the works that should be there, how are we going to claim it? Whenever they dissect somebody or take their bones and take the DNA from it 100 years from now, nobody's going to ask what it claims, only what the reality is. And at the end of our life, whenever we stand before God the Father, He's not going to say, what did you claim? He's going to say, what was the reality of what was there? And the reality is what matters. And He says, look, I'll show you my faith by my works. I will demonstrate. I will give you the hard evidence that I have faith by my works. Not works that save, but works that accompany, works that flow from salvation. You believe that God is one? Good. Even the demons believe. Remember how we kind of parsed the difference between belief and faith? Belief is a one-time thing. Faith is the culmination. It's the curating. It's the collection of beliefs. The demons believe. They might have one, but one does not a collection make. One does not do anything. And even the demons believe. They know that God is Lord. Demons have been in His presence. Demons know that God is Lord. And because of that, they shudder. They have the response that is appropriate to Him. But they believe about Him. They don't believe in Him. They know the facts. They believe. They see that He is Lord. They see that He is God. They see that He is Creator. They know. They believe the facts of it. But they do not believe in Him. They believe about Him, not in Him. And that makes all the difference. And there are a lot of people that might even believe about God today, but they do not believe in God today. They might believe in a set of facts. They might believe in a set of doctrines. They might believe. They might say, hey, that's right. But they don't believe in the person of God. They have never switched from the proposition to the person. They have never stopped it being about a set of rules and things that we know or things that we can repeat, things that we can respond to let it transform their life to where they have that logic of a personal relationship where it is between them and God. Senseless person, he said. Or your translation might say, foolish fellow. You foolish fellow. I don't know who translated it, but sometimes I just get these accents in my head of how they're writing it. Foolish fellow, are you willing to learn that faith without works is useless? Verse 14, what use is it, brothers, if they claim to have faith but they don't have works? He says, are you willing to learn that faith without works is useless? See, in Paul's day, this is James writing. James and Paul, Paul was probably new on the scene. James was probably written before a lot of Paul's letters. And James came on the scene and he was addressing the churches that were throughout the kingdom, throughout the Roman Empire. And in these churches, they had been hearing this message that, you know what, it's not the works of the law. The works of the law can't save you. And as Paul says in his writings, the works were good because the works showed us that we can't save ourselves. It's not until you try and have failed that you realize that you can't really do something. As long as they said, yeah, if I had tried a little bit harder, I could have saved myself. Yeah, if I had tried a little bit harder, I would have been all right. If I tried a little bit harder, I'd have been good enough or great enough or smart enough or whatever else. And so the works, they show us that we are in desperate, desperate need of the Savior. But it's not the works themselves that save us. He says the work. He says that, and so in that society, they heard is not of the works of the law. And some of them took it and they ran with it, and they said, went to the other extreme and said, "Hey, it's not what I do; it's just what I believe. So I'm going to believe, say what I believe, and then I'm going to live however I want." And they missed the point, and it didn't connect them. He said, "Faith without works, what use is it?" Yes, faith is important. Faith is vital. We come by faith. Through faith is how we are saved. But that faith will have works with it. Wasn't Abraham our father justified by works in offering Isaac his son on the altar? Now in Romans chapter 4, Paul says the exact opposite of this. In Romans chapter 4, verse 2, if Abraham was justified by faith, he had something to boast about, but not before God. It is instead pointing to the bigger picture. He says, wasn't Abraham our father justified by works in offering his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active together with his works. And so in Genesis chapter 22, it says God tested Abraham and said, Abraham, and then he said, go sacrifice your only son Isaac. And because Abraham believed, because he had faith, he went and did the work. He went and he took his son and he brought him up on the mountain. And he was getting ready to slay his son in sacrifice whenever the angel said, stop. God has provided another sacrifice. But yet this is what James has started talking about, because in James chapter 1, consider it joy, my brothers, when you experience various trials. The trials are situations that increase our faith, that demonstrate our faith, that prove our faith. And so Abraham's faith was proved by his work. Abraham was already justified before God, was already credited as righteousness. If you keep reading in verse 22, you see that faith was active together with his works. And by works, his faith was made complete, complete. Like it was solidified, it was complete, it was finished. And the scripture was fulfilled. Once again, fulfilled. It is something that we already see in part, but now we have the fulfillment of it. That says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now that happened in Genesis chapter 15, and the sacrificing of Isaac happened in Genesis 22. He was already credited as righteousness, but it was in the fulfilling, it was in the completion, it was the demonstrating of the faith that he had, that it was fully seen, that it was fully complete. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Once again, it's not earnings our salvation, it's not working to attain, but it is works that accompany faith. For true, genuine faith is always accompanied by works. That's why we talk about why some people want to try and parse what's similar between 2 and 7. They're both numbers. Well, that's obvious. Well, in James, it's obvious. It's obvious you're going to have faith. It's obvious that salvation doesn't come apart with faith. But faith can't be on its own. Faith on its own is not going to make it. Faith on its own is not real. Faith on its own is a fraud. It's a falsehood. It's a senselessness. It's a foolishness. It's a deception. It says faith, someone's not justified by faith alone, because that faith will always be accompanied by works. The same way, wasn't Rahab the prostitute also justified by works in receiving the messengers and sending them out by a different route? It's not that God said, hey, you did me a solid, I'm going to do you a solid. You did something for me, I'll do something for you. No, it's because Rahab saw that God was, and that he was a rewarder of those that seek him, and said, we see that God has his hand on your people, and we see and we know that we are doomed. It was the faith that she saw from the evidence from what God had been doing, and so she had faith in the God of Israel. And because of that, she followed through by sneaking them out a different route. Verse 26, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. The body without the spirit is dead. When someone's lying in a casket and the spirit has departed, we know that they are no longer there, that is not really them. So also faith without works is dead. It is necros. It is not viable. It is not what it really is, what it could be, what it should be. It is instead a falsity. What I have here is a tree. You might say, how do I know it's a tree? It doesn't have a brown trunk. You're right, but it's a tree. And it's, in fact, it's a lemon tree if you want to get more particular with it. Now, I have this tree, and if only 3 weeks ago I had thought I would have saved a very good illustration, because we had a big pot, you know, like this, and it was grown up to about right here, and it had that nice brown bark, and it was had the trunk, and it was spread out, but you know, it was getting to the time of year whenever everything else was putting on leaves and everything else was growing in height and everything else was a little bit longer than it was last time. And so what did we do? We went and we took and we broke off just the little tip of one of the branches. And you know what? It was brown all the way through. So what we had was not a tree. We had a stick and some dirt. It wasn't a tree anymore. It wasn't a tree anymore. It was not a tree. It was a stick in the dirt, or you could even call it a log, because it was a little bit bigger than that. It wasn't a tree. And whenever we go and we claim that we have faith in God, but our life does not match up to what it is, whenever there is no viability there, you know, in people we can say when their heart stops beating or their brain starts electricing, I don't know what in a tree changes it to where it no longer absorbs the sun, it no longer sucks up water, it no longer does whatever it is, but there's a place where a tree is nothing but a stick in the ground. And that's faith without works. It might claim, it might make the claim, it might make the declaration, it might express that it has this faith, that it has this set of beliefs that it bases its life off of. But in reality, if it does not have works, then it is not real. It's a fraud, it's a fake. Are you a tree or a stick? Are you a Christian or are you a senseless, deluded hypocrite that claims a faith? Maybe you claim a church membership, but there is nothing about your life that has anything that exhibits and exudes and shows what Christ has done in you. If you claim to have a faith, very well, very good, if it's real. If not, you are deluded and deceiving yourself. You're senseless. You're a foolish fellow. Because if there is no life change, then the faith that you claim is to a set of beliefs, not to a person. Because Christ himself does all. In Philippians, it tells us that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out our salvation in fear and trembling. It goes on to say, it is God working in you to will and to work according to his purpose. Yet as that salvation is being worked out, we are told to have a responsibility in it. The idea of justification is by grace alone. It's God doing all that he can, but he wants us to have a faith that curates, that manifests, that takes care of, that grabs on to more beliefs and transforms the way we live. That's what the sanctification is. It's the transforming. It's the filtering. It's the cycling. It's the saying, you know what? I've got this collection of belief in God. I believe God. I believe his word. I believe who he is. I want to know more about God. I desire God. I delight in God. I want to know God. I want to desire him. I want to be with him. I want to understand him. And I want to care for it as he has told me and as he has shown me. I want to be who he wants me to be. For why did God create us? Why did God save us? Don't we know you are saved by grace through faith? It's not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not from works, so that no one can boast. But do we stop there? We are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works. See, God saved you. He saved you to do good works. The expectation in his saving is that there will be good works. The expectation in his justifying you is that you would also be sanctified, that you would continue to grow, that you would curate in your life this collection of beliefs. I believe in God. In fact, God, I believe you. God, I believe your word, and I believe your word whenever you say, whatever you say is truth. God, I believe that you are. I believe that you're a rewarder of those that seek you. I believe that nothing can separate us from the love of God. God, I believe that you love us with a dogged love that I can't understand. And God, in the midst of all of that, I have come to realize how to trust in you. See, there's the song, Trust in Jesus, that we're the trust in Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. That's over and over if you enunciate. Over and over again, I've seen in my life, through my own experience, through my own experimenting, through my own knowledge, through the testimony, through the authority, through other people saying it, I've seen it over and over again. And because of who Jesus is, I trust in him. See, we go from a time where we hear about him to where we trust in him. There's a song, Jesus, Jesus, is by CCB. I don't know the group. I don't know if all their songs are good, but I like this one. Because it's turned into a prayer. Said, I heard that you can move mountains. I need this mountain moved. Would you do it? I've heard that you can heal the broken. But these wounds are very deep. Would you be the great physician for me? And the fact where what we hear becomes what we believe is then what is the establishment of our faith. But not only that, you can see it in reverse. Because of our faith, we see the situation we're in and we look to who God says and how God wants us to respond. And it cycles back into that avenue of trust, that avenue of belief, culminating in faith that once again builds upon all that we've seen before. I say it all the time. I hope that we are closer to God today than we've ever been before, but I hope that tomorrow we're even closer than today. You see, it's one cycle as we curate the faith that's in our lives. It's not just that, oh, I'm believing good right now. No, it's that we let our faith, the collection of beliefs, the collection of things that God has spoken to us, what we know, we let it grow. I don't want you to just know facts about Jesus. Because if it's only about facts, then that's a very shaky situation. And if it's a collection of facts, then you're no better off than the demons. But it's my prayer that we not only claim to have faith, but we have a faith. Not a faith that we can express, but a faith that lives. A faith that is alive. A faith that is in Him and Him alone. Let's pray.